attention, attention. May I have all your eyes and ears to the front of the room, if only, if only for 1 second. This table is taking a turn for the worse. Rock bottom and over the edge. Well, it's not like it hurts that much anyway. Upside down and inside out. When I leave here, I'm going alone. Anyway, attention, attention. May I have all your eyes and ears to the front of the room, if only, if only for 1 second. See what I have to say. Oh, what did I mention when I see you?
Welcome to Sox Talk Radio, everyone. I'm your host, Jason Gage. My colleague and cohort, Mario Scalise, is out of town. Obviously, he's out of town. He's in Chicago. I'm in Southern California. Sunny Southern California today. Just to rub it in on you, all of you in those winter conditions where snow is expected. Spring break's on the way for me. The end of spring training is near for the White Sox. I was last week lucky enough to be able to attend spring training. After the first half of the show, I'll discuss some of the things I saw during spring training and a couple of the young players that impressed me. But to start off the show, I'd like to talk a little bit about a trade that was made. And that was Joe Borchardt was traded for Matt Thornton. And it was a move Ken Williams made, and the gist of it was, this team needs bullpen help. I've been saying it for our first two shows, and I'm going to continue saying it today. Even after this trade, the biggest weakness on this ball club is the bullpen. You have Brandon McCarthy, who struggled. We're going to talk about that later on. You have Dustin Urmison, who's had his back injury. We're going to talk about that later on. But the big part was you had that left-handed race. And everyone was wondering, is it going to be Boone Logan? Is it going to be Javier Lopez? Earlier on, it was, could Arnie Munoz make it? Did he prove to Ozzie that he had the huevos to step up? But before we get into that, like I said, we need to talk a little bit. Say goodbye to Joe Borchardt. The White Sox, that's right, they traded away the Golden Boy, the record $5.3 million signing bonus. He was a first-round draft pick, and highly touted. The next Mickey Mantle, if you listen to a lot of people. I never called him the next Mickey Mantle myself, but the talent was evident. He had a little bit of a hot streak right at the end of the last week or so, and he's looking like he'll be in the final spot for the Mariners. But who cares about what the Mariners have right now? We know Borchardt wasn't going to be a key vital role for this ball club. And it does mean that Ross Gallode, one of our show's personal favorites between Mario and myself, will make the ball club. But let's talk quickly about Matt Thornton, the guy the White Sox acquired. Thornton didn't exactly put up stellar numbers in Seattle. Last year he struggled a bit, and that was his second full season in the major league level. And the prior year, he actually put up some decent numbers. It was, let me grab the numbers real quick. I don't want to give you guys lies. I'm going to say enough of that already during the show. But at the age of 28, he made his first appearance in the major leagues. And he had 19 appearances with a 4.13 ERA for the Mariners. And that was in 04. In 05, people tended to figure him out a bit. But the nice thing about Thornton is he does have a good arm. He has a power fastball and a power slider. But he's struggled. Quite frankly, he has ridiculous command. Last year, in 57 innings, he struck out 57 batters. The problem was he walked 42. And that's not going to work at the major league level. However, as with most of the guys Ken Williams acquires, the White Sox have been touting and trying to get Matt Thornton for a couple years. Don Cooper told them Ken Williams a while back that he wanted to get this guy. You get him, don't worry about it, and I'll take care of the rest. Cooper will work his magic, or that's what he claims. Thornton has made an appearance with the White Sox. He will break camp with the White Sox, and he got shellacked in his first appearance. That said, he's an upgrade from Javier Vasquez because I actually think this guy has some potential, but in no way does this shore up this team's bullpen. And now we'll go from the bullpen to more bullpen talk. And as I mentioned Boone Logan before, it looks as if he will get the starting job. That's right, a guy that's pitched in 5 games in A-ball, which was right at the end of last season, and the only reason he was up at that level was because of the fact that when you have the roster adjustments in September, guys usually shift and play in a little bit different area. That said, I was able to see Boone Logan pitch in spring training. I watched him warm up, and he's actually a lot more impressive and a lot more poised than you'd expect a guy that's never pitched consistently anywhere in A-ball or above. He has a little bit of a sidearm delivery. It's kind of funky. He draws it back as if he's going to go sidearm, and then he comes up more of a three-quarter style delivery. He has a decent fastball, but most importantly, has good control, and he keeps the ball down. He's gotten a lot of ground balls, and I'm going to be excited to see what he does at the major league level. However, it is spring training. You got to look at these stats kind of, they're not really that important. Spring training is a place where you warm up. Obviously, spring training has just made Boone Logan's career. I think a year ago, if you asked him where he's going to be, he may have told you he's going to be a major league player, but not many scouts would have. And in 1 year, he's going to find himself in the major leagues, and that's right now. How long will he be there? I don't know, because I think Ken Williams is going to have to react pretty quickly when it comes to this bullpen. We have a lot of issues there. About Neil Kott's about the only guy I'm confident in when it comes to our bullpen. And I've said that many a times right now. Next up on the topic I want to talk about, as I'm going to jump around quite a bit since I don't have anyone else to talk to. I'm stuck here talking to myself, and as good as I am at talking to myself and talking myself up, this is kind of difficult to do, so bear with me, people. I want to talk about our key acquisition of a year ago, Scotty Pasednik. All the clutch hits in the playoffs, or clutch home runs, all the huge stolen bases he had in the first half of last season. Pasednik has been hurt for most of spring training. However, I'm here to be the messenger of good news. Scott Pasednik has rejoined the White Sox. He's playing again, and he appears to be healthy. How healthy, we don't know, but it looks like he'll be breaking camp as a starter. Not that we didn't expect that to happen, but having Scott Pasednik around is going to be a big upgrade, and it's a big boost. And assuming his legs are all right, and obviously it's his shoulder that's injured, we should expect another good season for him, and it'll allow the rest of the lineup to have some slumps from time to time, because Pasednik can add that extra dimension to this ball club that if the other guys aren't whacking home runs, you can still get Pasednik on first with a leadoff walk or a single, and he can be on third base with one out. If he steals second and Uribe gets him over, then you got Canerco and Tome, two guys that can hit sacrifice flies and aren't selfish and are great run producers, to get them, allow them to knock him in. And that's going to go a long way, just like it did at the start of last season. Now I'm going to take a quick break. I realize the show is going to be shorter this time because I'm not talking for an hour. There's no way in hell I'm doing that. So I'm going to take a quick break, play you guys a little bit of music, and then I'll be back talking about Dustin Hermanson, spring training, and Brandon McCarthy.
Locked up in your head, you've been pouring in a concrete bed. Your habits ossify, you don't realize you're fried. You're so fried. To find someone you love, gotta be someone you love. To find someone you love, gotta be someone you love.
Welcome back to Sox Talk on the Air. I'd like to thank you all for listening once again, and I'd like to quickly do a shout-out to my other sites, Chowdad. The other sites on this network are TalkBears.com. It's a great Chicago Bears site. It's only about 2 weeks old, so if you haven't checked it out, give us a shot. And our other site is www.TalkBulls.com, and it's part of our growing Talk Sports network. Eventually, you guys, if you want to, we'll be putting up with some of my podcasts on the Bears and the Bulls, the Big Ten, and, well, I'm obviously going to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes from time to time, and what an embarrassment they were in this past NCAA tournament where they lost to Northwestern State, and Steve Alford proved once again how we cannot beat any team with Northwestern in the name. But now let's get back to the White Sox. And as I mentioned, we're going to stay on the subject of the bullpen just a bit longer. Actually, now that I look at what I'm supposed to talk about the rest of the show, pretty much the next few guys I'm going to talk about are all pitchers as well that could find themselves in the bullpen in a year or two from now. But the key cog of last year's bullpen, one of the key pickups, was Dustin Hermanson. Over the first half of the season, he may have been the best reliever in all baseball. He was dominant. And you can't deny it. Look at his numbers from last year. It was his first full year out of the bullpen in his career. Well, for the most part. And he was 2-4 with a 2.04 ERA and 34 saves. He may not be dominant. He may not have that 98-mile-an-hour fastball Bobby Jenks and other closers have. But he is a very good pitcher. And right now he's been struggling with health issues. The health issues have carried from last year when he had a herniated disc in his back. And so far this spring, he's had a lot of trouble getting comfortable throwing his pitches. He hasn't thrown many splitters, and when he has, he doesn't have the field down. He says give it time, though, because he usually doesn't throw many splitters in spring training because he doesn't want to wear out his arm, and it's obviously the splitter is not a good pitch to throw. But we have to ask ourselves as White Sox fans and as analysts, what is this team going to do if Bobby Jenks can't come through? I've long said Neil Kotz can become our closer, but Cliff Polite has struggled this spring. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been horrible, and he's improved every year with the White Sox, so I give him credit for that, and he has good stuff. But you look at Brandon McCarthy, and I'm going to go more in depth on him later on, but he's never pitched out of the bullpen in his career. Neil Kotz, one great year, but he has a great arm, and I think he's just going to get better. Bobby Jenks, one of the best arms in all of baseball out of the bullpen, but he's came to camp big and out of shape, in my opinion, and he's not exactly been brilliant this spring. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Jenks later on as well. We have, obviously, Logan Boone. We don't know what to expect from him. He's looked great this spring, but it's spring training, and for the most part, he's not exactly facing a lot of major leaguers. That said, a week or two ago, he pitched very well against some of the Oakland A's starters. And obviously, the whole Boone fascination, you know, not Daniel Boone, Logan Boone, the whole fascination started when he K'd Jim Thome, and Thome went to Ozzie Guillen and the rest of the team and coaching staff and said, wow, that guy has great stuff. And bam, all of a sudden, Ozzie gave him a shot. Ozzie gave a 12-year-old a shot if he pitched his ass off in spring training. And I give him credit for that. But at the same time, look at what Kevin Walker did last spring. He was dynamite early on, and then he faded. And he basically became the most hated guy on the site on Sox Talk, with the exception of Timo Perez, the Cincinnati Red Basher. Personally speaking, I think it's obvious we should trade for Timo Perez and let him be our last pitcher in the bullpen, because honestly, I am still very nervous when it comes to our bullpen. Luckily, we have guys that are going to throw 200 innings, or so we hope, in our starting rotation, and we should have a good offense. But, bar none, you can't afford to blow games, and this bullpen is going to blow games. And Kenny needs to be concerned about that. Obviously, the season hasn't started, so we got to take a wait-and-see approach. And I'm glad he went on the aggressive end, and he got rid of Borchard for at least a powerful arm. But this is going to be a long-going issue all season, and I'm sure I'm going to be talking about it most of the year, arguing with Mario. But I think on the most part, we're going to have to all agree that our bullpen is weak as of right now. If you were analyzing this team, you wouldn't give this bullpen more than a C. The good news, though, about Hermanson, since I went on that long random rant, is that he had an epidermal shot, something like that, and he pitched pain-free yesterday. And by pitching, I mean he just threw off a mound. It was a 52-pitch side session. And while he pitched without pain, he was warned by General Manager Ken Williams that after his second epidural Tuesday, he shouldn't be feeling any pain because he's all drugged up on this stuff. But on Friday, Hermanson will pitch, and not against the minor league team, folks. He's going to be pitching against the Seattle Mariners. And it's going to be a good test. If Hermanson can make a couple good appearances here, and get over that pain, not where he's pitching pain-free, but where he's not in so much pain that he's just cringing and can't be effective. Because if he can't get over the pain now, I don't know what makes me think he's going to get over it later. However, he has reiterated that retirement is not an option. Getting shelled and shellacked might be. Now we've talked about Dustin Hermanson. Later I'm going to talk about Brandon McCarthy. But the reason we didn't do our show on Monday was because both Mario and myself were in Tucson. Well, we were in Tucson for a day. We were in Phoenix area the rest of the time. And we were lucky enough to take in 3 spring training White Sox games and then a 4th game, which we saw the Mariners play the Padres. And before I talk about what I saw, I just want to make this time to recommend to any big Sox fan or baseball fan that's listening. If you've never been to spring training, I highly recommend it. It has got to be one of those things. Just like all diehard baseball fans, at one point in their life, need to do what they can to go see Cooperstown. I really think you got to go see spring training. It's just different. You get to see a lot of young players play. You get to see major leaguers play. But the best part is it's just a great friendly atmosphere. You can sit down, relax, watch baseball. They have great food barbecuing. That's one of my favorite parts. I love the food. And you get to watch baseball a month before the season starts. I mean, I know me. About February, January, I've already got this marked down on the calendar when I'm going to be going, and I am all jazzed up, counting down the days. It's like a kid counting down towards Christmas, and I still count down towards Christmas. I even make my Christmas list for Santa Claus. But spring training is just an awesome place to go. The Sox Ballpark, Tucson Electric Park, beautiful park. I'm not much of a fan of Tucson. It's not a bad city. It's more of a cowboy town. And being from Southern California, I guess I don't fit in that cowboy image. I'm not more of a Scottsdale person either, but Scottsdale is a beautiful city. The whole Phoenix area is really nice. All the ballparks, for the most part, are pretty nice. Surprise is a beautiful new facility. You have Peoria, really good facility. The Cubs playing Ho-Ho Cam for all you Cub fans that are listening to this broadcast. And it's just a great way to come and watch baseball. And the best part about the Phoenix area spring training, or the Arizona, the Cactus League, is that all the teams are so close to each other that if you rent a car, or if you drive out there, I drove out there, and it's only a 5-hour drive from California, that you're only an hour and a half. It's the longest drive you're going to make, and that's the drive between Tucson and the Arizona teams. However, if you're in the Grapefruit League, you could have 4, 5, 6-hour drives, from what I understand. I've never been to that part, but it's still a great opportunity to go watch baseball. And if you have kids, they're going to have a blast, because they can go there. And it's just so much more interactive with the players because you get closer to the field and the players are so much more willing to sign autographs, and it's just a blast for kids. I mean, I've been going there for 10 years with my pops, and it's awesome. And if anyone else has that opportunity, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Just had a nice drink of water. And now it's time to talk about what I saw. I mean, that's what you listen to the show for, right? You want to hear what I think. We don't give a shit what Mario thinks. What Mario thinks... That's not expert analysis. That's just what Mario thinks. Me, I'm the paid expert. I'm the one driving the Porsche and the Ferrari. I get paid to do this. I get paid well, and it's a lot of losses, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. And what I saw, well, first guy I'm gonna tout is a guy. He pitched in a locally for me, and it's Sean Tracy. I realize he's had an up-and-down spring, but I saw him pitch, I think it was Sunday, Milwaukee. Clayton Richard got the surprise start instead of Freddy Garcia, and I think it was due to the weather conditions. I didn't have a paper, so I honestly couldn't tell you. But Sean Tracy pitched really well out of relief. He had quite a few strikeouts, and he pretty much dominated. You saw that fastball that I've been advertising on FutureSox.com. For the last year and a half or so, he was throwing low to mid-90s. I think he got as high as 94. And he was able to get his slider down. And the best part was, he showed exactly the biggest reason why I'm a fan of his. He will pitch inside. He's old school. He's not afraid to go inside, brush you back. He drilled Cecil Fielder with a fastball. Prince Fielder Jr., with the fastball, and Fielder wasn't too pleased, but that's the Sean Tracy I know. He set a record in the Winston-Salem or the Carolina League for hit by pitch 2 years ago, and it's not because he's overly wild. Now, he doesn't have the greatest command, but the reason he hits so many guys is he's going to pitch in. He's going to jam you, he's going to break bats, and then he's going to bust you a few times outside. But the nice part is you're never going to feel comfortable facing a guy like Sean Tracy, because you know you're going to be getting inside pitches. The next guy that impressed me, yet another pitcher, and another player that's given us an interview at Future Sox, yeah, I know, shameless plugs, is Tyler Lumsden. Lumsden missed all of last year. He had bone chips removed from his elbow, and this was the first time I've actually got to see him in action. He was drafted out of Clemson, supplemental or first round, right around there, by the White Sox 2 seasons ago, if I recall correctly. And this kid has the best left-handed arm in our organization. And the only person that doesn't have a better arm is Neil Kotz. And Tyler, well, yeah, Neil Kotz. Because Burley is a hell of a pitcher, but he doesn't have the arm that Lumsden has. Lumsden has a good fastball. And he was pitching Monday against the Kansas City Royals. Pitched tremendous. The only thing I noticed is he still has some control issues. And I think a lot of that is due to the rust of missing an entire season. But from what Lumsden tells us, he's healthy, he's feeling good, and he's ready to pitch. And my guess is he may get a few starts early on in Winston-Salem before going to Birmingham. But the initial indications and the stuff that I'm hearing is that he'll be in Birmingham to start the season. Lumsden has a really good fastball for a lefty. He throws it in the low to mid-90s, although right now he's the highest I saw him is about 93-94. But it has good movement at 93-94. And in fact, when he was warming up, every pitch he threw was pretty much 5 feet over the catcher, which was kind of funny to see, and I bet the leadoff hitter was just crapping his pants watching that. But Lumsden was effective, and he was grooving in the pitches. However, I noticed it took him a while to get his breaking ball over. He has a good slider, and it had some good movement, but he was leaving it up, and that, once again, comes down to the fact that he hasn't pitched in a year, and he's going to have a little bit of time where he's going to have to adjust and find his release point. And Lumsden also features a changeup, which he didn't throw much, and this is going to be a learning experience for him. But remember this kid's name, because he does have a very bright future if he remains healthy. And he probably, if Logan, if Thornton struggle, he could find his way into our bullpen later in the year if Ken Williams doesn't want to go out and make a trade. But we all know Ken Williams did. Another guy I saw at spring training, and this was kind of more funny, was Hideo Nomo. He made his first start with the White Sox. I think it was his first game, at least. And Nomo looked horrible the first inning. And he doesn't have the fastball. He doesn't have the stuff he once had. But he still has a pretty damn good splitter. And it was just kind of cool to see him pitch. I assume he's not going to make it with the White Sox. But I got to wonder, what it goes on in a guy like Hideo Nomo's mind? He knows that the White Sox don't have a spot for him. I don't think he wants to play in the minors. I remember when he was at the Cubs in Detroit and everywhere else he went after he kind of fell out of baseball. Well, didn't fall out, but hit a mid-funk before going back to the Dodgers and rejuvenating his career for a second time. But what is this guy thinking? I mean, he comes to the White Sox. Obviously, my guess is being on Comcast Sportsnet and having 22 or 25 games or whatever it is televised has to be an advantage to a guy like Nomo or any other minor league free agent or non-roster guy we give, because not only does Nomo get a pitch with us, every team is going to be able to watch into these footage from Comcast and see, well, maybe Nomo hasn't. Maybe the Cincinnati Reds saw enough out of Nomo in that game to give him a call up at the end of spring training and give him a starting job or a chance at a starting job. And I don't think Nomo's going to be very good, but he has had an amazing career, and I just thought it was cool watching him in a White Sox uniform doing his little crazy stop-and-go delivery or whatever. I don't even know how to describe it. And I do think Comcast Sportsnet, something that none of us have really talked about before, is going to give the White Sox an opportunity to sign some of those guys that maybe were hurt for a year or two, that used to be stars that no one wants, but we could take a chance on and maybe get lucky, just because not only do they get that chance to play with the Sox, but they get to see other teams get to see them on TV. I'll repeat myself there. And some other things I noticed in spring training, Robert Valido. Boy, is he smooth. He's as smooth as I saw him when he was in Winston-Salem and Kannapolis. He's a smart player. His bat is still looking pretty good to me. I don't know how well it'll project at the major league level, but if you watch him and Lopez turn double plays or him and Gonzalez turn double plays, it's just pretty. It really is. I don't know how much his future, where he's going to be. Who knows? He could be at second base in a year or two replacing Noguchi, because I really think Uribe is our shortstop of the present and future. But Valito is a guy you should be familiar with. He could very well be trade bait at the trade deadline. Another guy who's really been impressive all spring is our first-round draft pick, Josh Fields. Fields has been hitting the ball really well, and what I noticed about Fields is he still has his funks defensively, and he's got to make a lot of adjustments there. Otherwise, he's going to go the path of Carlos Lee and find himself in left field. But Josh Fields is really improving at the plate. He looks to be a lot more patient there and a lot more willing to wait for his pitch. A lot of rookies and a lot of people that are trying to make impressions with management or scouts are overly aggressive because they're too worried and they're too concerned with making that positive impact, that positive, you know, just boom, grand slam. They want to hit grand slams with no one on base, and you can't do that. Fields was willing to let the pitchers come to him, and he would hit the ball. He drove the ball with authority to the opposite field, and that was impressive. Ryan Sweeney, another guy that's impressive, although he's been tailing off at the end of spring training. Sweeney's bulked up a bit from the kid that was drafted out of high school in Iowa, and he's still got a really good arm. He's got good speed. He's got a good build, and he's developing a better eye. He still doesn't draw many walks, but the nice thing is he's not wildly swinging. He seems to wait for his pitch, and he's really good at fouling off pitches. He's going to be one of those guys that has those 13, 14 pitch at-bats. It just drives the opposing pitcher nuts. Let's see. What else did I see at spring training? Ronnie Woo-Woo was not there for about the first time I've ever been at spring training. He usually makes an appearance for whatever reason. And Brendan McCarthy. It's quite apparent right now and quite evident that he is not where he was last spring at this time. And I think the big reason is he still doesn't quite know what he's got to do to warm up. I notice he warms up about an inning before, half inning before he comes in, and it takes him a lot longer to limber up and get ready. And I'm hoping that a couple of the veteran relievers like Hermanson and Polite can kind of take McCarthy under his wing and give him some pointers when it comes to getting prepared quicker and making sure you can stay in good shape and be prepared for the full season of pitching out of the pen, because it's going to be a big difference for him. I know we think that it's just really easy for a guy to go in the bullpen, but Brendan McCarthy's never pitched out of the pen. And as much of it is a physical adjustment because you have to get ready faster, it's also a mental adjustment. You're coming in with runners on base. It's not your jam. It's not your situation. And you got to get out of it real easy. You got to have some mental fortitude to get through it. Forget about the guys on base. Make your pitches, execute, and have the confidence that when you do that, you're going to get the job done. McCarthy is going to have a big role with this team, especially with Hermanson's question marks and everyone else's. And if he can't step up, we're going to be in trouble because I've been labeling McCarthy our X factor in this bullpen. And I think he will come around. This kid is a smart pitcher. And we're going to try to get him on one of our shows in the upcoming weeks, if at all possible, and try to get a few other people on our show. And with that, that's going to conclude this midweek show, this special solo edition by myself. I'd like to tell you we will be back next Monday. And I have now got it set up where if you go to SoxTalk.com on our front page, we have a podcast module there. And you can pop that baby right into your iTunes or any other podcast system you use. And it'll auto-subscribe for you, and you'll be golden. You'll get our shows every time we get a new one, it'll automatically download when you open up your feed or podcast, iTunes, or whatever you use. On our next show, we are going to be, what are we going to discuss? We're going to be doing our baseball preview. Not only are we going to run down any recent news to the Sox, which will be our quick early segment, but after that, we're going to do our predictions. How right or how wrong are we going to be come season's end? We will talk about the West, the Central, the East, and both the National League and American League. We'll make our MVP predictions. We'll have our surprise teams. We'll give you a quick insert. Like, let's say we think the Cardinals are going to win the division. Why are they going to win the division? And why won't they win the division? Like, what could get in their way? So, hopefully you enjoyed the show. I'd appreciate any feedback, any comments. Contact or Jason, J-S-O-N, at futuresox.com. FUTURESOX.com. Thank you, and have a good one.